Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Now, so,
yeah,
in the world of finance, if I come to you, for example, and I want to borrow money, right? Let's say I want to borrow 100 rand. You will then look at me as a financier and you go, okay, I'll give you 100 rand, Caesar, but what's your security? And then let's say I go, I don't know, I'll give you my shares at Discovery. And my shares at Discovery are also worth 100 rand at this time.
Okay, fair enough.
So you'll take that as security. That's called leverage, right? Now, because shares are obviously a living thing, they go up and down. At any time, these shares can either appreciate or depreciate. If they depreciate to a point where they go below the 100 rand that I owe you, you are obviously left exposed now, right?
Definitely.
Because I owe you 100 rand, but the shares are worth like maybe 80 rand.
Yeah.
So there's a shortfall. So you're going to come back to me and you go, Sizwe, I need an extra 20 rand from you.
Well, yes.
Because your shares have now dropped below a certain point.
Makes sense.
Either that or Kokeli Malyam. It's one of the two, right? That's actually what's called a margin call. And the interesting thing is, when Elon Musk went and he bought Twitter, he bought it for $44 billion. Now, as you can imagine, he may be the richest man in the world, but he hasn't got that money in cash. So what he put up were his Tesla shares as his leverage.
Good company, yeah.
Yeah. And because of what he's been doing with Donald Trump as of late, the Tesla shares have dropped 40% thus far. $800 billion lost in value. And so we're joined by a very good friend of the show, Kaya Sithole, to explain to us the issue of margin calls and how many a millionaire and a billionaire have actually filed for bankruptcy because of things like these. Kaya, good morning.
Good morning, and good morning to the listeners.
Yeah. So maybe let's just speak about margin calls to start off with. How does it get to a point where a margin call happens?
Well, it really is a character of a series of transactions. So the first part is that obviously you would have gone to somebody and said, look, I need to borrow a particular amount of money. And rather than giving my house as security, I'm going to give you the shares that I hold in another entity. Now, the problem, obviously, is because shares do go up and down in value. You don't want a perfect match. So if you're borrowing 1,000 rand, you don't want to have shares that are worth 1,000 rand because tomorrow market forces might change and then suddenly they're worth a bit less than that. So I would say I'd rather take shares that are worth at least 1,500 because that gives us the breathing space that it can go down by a significant amount and I'm still not going to be panicking. And at a point in time, obviously, when something goes horribly wrong and it does indeed go below that amount that you already owe me, then I do actually have to call you. So originally there would be an actual phone call that says, look, we have a problem. The value of the stock that you pledged, that security, is now below what you owe. So therefore, you need to top up. So you can either send me more shares or you can simply send more money in order to balance the books. And in instances where you can't do that, then I may indeed have to call the loan facility. And obviously, the problem there is that, well, you and I knew that you never had the cash. That's why you offered me the shares. Now the shares are worth less than what you owe me. So if I then say I'm canceling the loan, there's a big risk that I'm going to be out of money because, yeah, the things have gone in the wrong direction. So that's really the simplified version of what a margin call is.
Yeah. Now, if you look at the way the Twitter transaction was structured in terms of Elon Musk, he put up shares for Tesla. And again, I mean, if you just look at the markets, you know exactly what's been happening with Tesla. It's been a bloodbath over the last month and a half. Has he got any other option? Can he not refinance? Like, for example, Twitter now, the valuation I saw has gone back to about $44 billion. I was reading in the Financial Times yesterday. Maybe he can refinance and get the money elsewhere instead of putting up the Tesla shares and go, okay, guys, somebody else injects liquidity into maybe Twitter itself. How does that work?
Well, the interesting thing about Elon Musk is that he has got into the habit, some might say into the addiction, of actually pledging his Tesla shares for a series of transactions. So the Twitter transaction was just one of many that he had done in that particular way. And the reason he has a particular interest in using Tesla shares is that of all his companies, Tesla is really regarded as the great unicorn. It really is regarded as the type of stock that is probably going to keep rising, but at least until he decided to become the unofficial vice president of the United States of America. So in instances where he now has to face margin calls, he probably is in a better position to access alternative financing from other institutions. But what that does is that it puts those that are already in bed with him in a variety of transactions in a state of panic, because if he's now going to add more lenders onto that particular structure, it becomes a question of, well, who gets priority? So if I'm new into the transaction and I already know that you're only calling me because you're already in panic mode, the type of interest I might charge might be different. A type of seniority I might demand might be very different. So that now sets a panic across all his various lenders that have financed his multiple transactions, with Twitter probably being the most visible one, because you can kind of see that it was a deal that unfortunately was terribly valued. And the reason it was terribly valued is that he, again, being who he was, simply quoted a price that had nothing to do with the underlying fundamentals of the business. So everybody knew that he overpaid for it. After he overpaid for it, he then went on a spree of pissing off the primary cash flow, which was the advertiser. So therefore, the value of the Twitter business has actually been in decline from relative to the price that he paid for it. So it's been a series of really, really bizarre actions by someone who is supposed to know more about how businesses run, and this is why he's ended up in this particular position. The Tesla problem is that obviously there's not only been his behavior as an unofficial bureaucrat, but also some alternative market players have sort of been thriving in that market space. So if you look at what the Chinese are doing in catching up to Tesla, it obviously then has an impact on the Tesla share price. And ultimately, because he's pledged these shares as collateral for so many transactions, he has to start worrying and start panicking about how to resolve this emerging series of margin calls.
Now, here's where it gets very, very interesting. So I love finance, right? In him selling these shares for liquidity, he obviously loses control of the company that he currently owns. He may be fortunate that he sells enough that he still regains control. It's not an issue. But at a point, you become a minority shareholder. Somebody else comes and they take over your company. It's called a squeeze. What's the likelihood of that happening?
Look, I think when it comes to the Tesla problem, the main concern that other investors would have is that when a person like Elon Musk owns as many shares in this entity, the assumption is that he'll do whatever it takes to make sure that the value of the company grows. So you do want your CEO to actually have, you know, skin in the game. So when that shareholding starts getting diluted, then obviously the skin in the game is not at the same level as it was. And people start worrying about, well, will he be as committed to growing the value of the business as he used to be when his upside is now severely limited? So that's what people would actually worry about. But in instances of him becoming a minority shareholder, it's very unlikely that there'll be someone, at least an individual, who will then be able to acquire enough shares to essentially say, I want to be the next CEO. It will be the institutional investors, either those that have been funding Tesla or those that are now obviously exposed to the Tesla share price on the basis of having funded him for his other deals. They are the ones that will then have to figure out, well, if he gets below a particular level, does that trigger a series of conversations that ultimately ends up with him exiting the business? Or do we persevere and hope that his current fixation with being an unofficial vice president is only a four-year fleeting moment, and then he can come back and focus on his business? At this stage, it's very unpredictable, but there's a lot of bankers panicking about what it all means.
Thank you very much for joining us. That's where we need to leave it. And that's basically the predicament that Elon is faced with. I can tell you, because of how he's been behaving, a lot of people are happy that he's in this position. But it also lets you know, you can be the richest man in the world and still have a headache.
Oh, sees the world. Oh, may Tesla shares drop, may SpaceX crash, may Twitter and Jay become Jay. May someone else buy Twitter, actually, because you're... No. He's a problem. You should have stuck to business instead of getting involved in politics. That's what happens when you meddle around in politics. May you lose the most money. May you just lose, Jay.
Nalea, let me give you advice. Never pray on somebody's downfall. When I concentrate on your own things.
But the problem is he's hurting innocent people. There's some people who've taken life savings and put them and invested in these great companies because they've seen and experienced a Tesla and believe in it so much that they can put their life savings there. Those people, their wealth is wiped out. Right? Why should he keep his? So,
well, his is wiped out too. If Tesla's down 40%, his wealth is also down 40%.
But he's still a billionaire. Someone, it was their life saving. That's what I mean. He must lose more.
Thank you. Thank you so much for such knowledge around financial things. Really eye-opening, which is one of the key things as one ventures into business to know such things. I just wanted to say thank you for the knowledge, guys. We're always learning something new. Keep it up. Keep it up. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Now, as you will have heard, I said yesterday, Sumitra Naidu will bring you Kaya Biz for the rest of the week, which is obviously Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m.
This is a typical example of the phrase that says, the grass is not always greener on the other side. Yes, I was so fond of the guy before I started interacting about Donald Trump and all of that, mainly because he's South African, you know, or has South African roots. He's got these silly remarks. He spreads wrong information to the Americans and all of that about us.
A lot of people actually like Donald Trump as well before he became the bigot that he is.
Think on the topic of margin calls, you know, there's a lot of leverage trading that takes place in South Africa. And, you know, as you mentioned, one must focus on what they're doing on their own. So while Elon is going through some challenges, I'd thought maybe gold hitting 3,000, it's a bit overvalued. And with the talks between US and Russia, that the outcome might be good. Then I decided to short gold. So as Kai was talking about a little bit earlier on the show, I was also hit with a margin call a few days ago.
Yeah, what were you thinking, shorting gold, bro, at a time like this?
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.